Well, good morning. How's everybody doing today? It is just so awesome to be back here in the sanctuary. Honestly, walking in here, I barely recognize the place. You guys, Scott, you and your wife, I mean, what you guys have, whoever's involved with the decoration, I absolutely love it. You guys have done a fantastic job in rebranding and making this place space seem much bigger than it ever was. And definitely more lived in. It's really, really inviting. Before I get started, because I feel my spirit, for you guys don't know, this is my lovely wife, Lori. Would you stand, please? She has kept the visionary man from losing his mind many times. This is Faith, my daughter. Would you stand, please? That's my little princess. And this is Christopher, my son. So Chris went away to school and is a music guy, and he's currently working. And so pray for him. He's looking for a job in the entertainment industry, which is not always easy to find. I'm really, really blessed. And honestly, I apologize beforehand if I skip around, because while we're worshiping, I sense so many good things about this church, and I feel the Holy Spirit speaking some things to me that I want to share with you guys before I get on, because I feel like the word I got for your church is preparation. It's preparation that you guys have been preparing, and you're preparing in faith because of what God's going to do, or because of the call and the mission of this church. And also, while I was worshiping, I saw this ship on the ocean, and its sails was up. And it was like, God is like, I'm the wind. I'm going to be one to move the ship. But I want to encourage you that you guys already acted in faith because you're preparing. There is a new season in this church. There's a new season, and it's a season that I believe God wants to bring multiplication and increase into the house of God. It's very important that when you receive a word, you believe it. Because see, God is in the transformation, blessing, empowerment business. Whatever you need in life, God has it. It's not an accident this place is here. It's not an accident Pastor Scott and his wife are here in this season of this church. Because as he spoke that word preparation, I'm like, God, why you keep putting that? Because this is going to mess my whole message up, you know? Because believe it or not, I preach more prophetically, meaning God inspires me on up here, but I wrestle. I like to put things in order, but the Lord messes me up. So there's something on that I want to share with you guys, because you need to start believing that something is going to happen. Because it's in God's heart for it to happen. God wants this community to be touched by the sanctuary church. Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Eva, great job in worship. You just brought me to the throne. I really come on, give worship team up. I'm telling you guys, you're blessed. You're blessed. And you blessed up Pastor Scott. So those are the things that I really, really sense is going on. And you know, I pray for some things later on, so that God's put on my heart as well. But really, really awesome to be back at the Sanctuary Church. And as I was preparing, I struggled because I said, Lord, there's so much things I could talk about. I haven't seen you guys in like 2 years. 2 years. And God has done such wonderful things in our life and in your life. So just to go back and kind of tie things in, last message I believe I preached here was about being obedient to God. It was about Jonah, that Jonah was called to impact the city, but Jonah ran away. And because Jonah was not obedient to God, the people that were with Jonah started suffering because of his disobedience. And the boat was about to sink. And Jonah said, you know, it's me, I'm the cause of why the ship is sinking. So I told you guys I needed to be obedient and step out and go where God's calling me to go. kind of interesting that Scott is in this season where he's speaking about challenging our faith and trying to move forward. So after leaving the Sanctuary Church, God had me to go on a sabbatical for 1 year because I was excited. I'm like, Lord, what is the next thing you want me to do? I'm so excited. And God said, spend some time with me. And finally, after God bothering the Lord, pestering him for months, he finally said, Alton, and this is what kind of had me pull my brakes and kind of lean back and say, well, you know what? I need to do what God's saying to do. He says, Alton, the way you know me now won't serve me for where I want to bring you to. The way you know me now won't serve me for where I want to bring you to. And because of that, I kind of leaned back and started spending time with the Lord, and it was a really wonderful time of reconnecting with God, but it was also a shifting of my call and where God has wanted to point me towards direction and ministry in my life. Because I was used to being a pastor, I was used to working at United Airlines, and honestly, it really challenged my faith. Because I'm a guy that had a job at United and I worked here. I was employed for pretty much 36 years straight, from 6 years in the military to 30 years at United Airlines. And when God said to lay that down, that was a huge step of faith for me. And then when he said to lay the church down, which was a couple months after, it took me 3 months to even tell anyone. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, you're asking me like to go on top of the Empire State Building and jump off. That's what I felt like. I'm just being honest with you guys. Because I've never been in a place where I have to now depend on faith alone for supplies or whatever the case may be. But it was totally a new territory of and a way of thinking and living for me that required me to have faith and trust in that God has called me, so therefore I need to obey him if I want to get to where he wants to bring me to. The word says it's impossible to please God without faith. Impossible. Because God is, he knows everything. He knows where he wants to lead you to. You don't. And even if he tells you, we don't even believe it sometimes. Come on, be honest. God's got to tell me stuff at least 6 or 7 times before I believe it. Can I get an amen out there? But we know he's capable. It's just that sometimes we doubt if we're hearing the Lord correctly or that we ourselves can do what God has called us to do. So from that point, I kind of sensed that the Lord was wanting me. When I left, the Lord says, I want you to be a person that goes around the nations and help equip and empower pastors and leaders. That's what he spoke to me in my prayer time. And I said to myself, God, I am no mega church person. Because the people who do that are mega church people. Right? These are guys who have the big churches and they go around and they speak. And I'm like, okay, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I'm going to spend time with you. I'm going to be obedient. In November of 2017, I fasted for 3 days and prayed. And the Lord spoke to me and he said this. I want you to contact this pastor, his name is Michael Berdura. I knew him over 20 years ago, and talk to him about becoming a coach of pastors. Now, I haven't seen this man in years and years, and I'm saying this because I'm going somewhere with this. I started Googling him, and finally I emailed him, and it took like 4 or 5 months to get a hold of him. And at the time, Michael's part of an organization, has an organization called Pastors Coach, and his job is to coach pastors and churches and leaders. And I connected with Michael, and next thing you know, Michael says, send me your bio. And I was in the process of getting trained to coach pastors and leaders. Now, there's a key point to this. God spoke to me. Then I responded to the word of God in spite of my doubt, in spite of my insecurity, in spite of I didn't feel like I had it. And when I responded, God opened the door. I'm now coaching pastors all over the world. I'm in a place that people says, how did you? Seriously. I sometimes I tell my wife, I said, babe, I don't believe it. They say, how did you get there? You didn't go through the normal path. Guess what? God gave me a word and I obeyed. And God opened the door for me to get to that place. See, God is faithful when we are obedient. No, let me I'm going to change that. God is faithful all the time. Whether we're obedient or not, God is still faithful. So that makes me wonder how many people live their lives, man, without apprehending that which God has put before you to apprehend. How many people are living a life based on their doubt and not on their faith in the faithful and glorious and good and loving Father? How many? I would venture to say too many. Too many. My heart for you guys this morning is for one thing. That one, you would believe in the Lord your God. That he's faithful, and whatever he has for you is better than you have right now. Guaranteed. Because he's a good father. We sang it this morning, didn't we? We're a good, good father. For me, guys, the road and path, why you guys wonder, why'd you leave your job? I'm like, I felt like there was a destiny. I'll go back to that a little bit. It was over 25 years ago that God spoke to me about missions. Some of you guys may not even know that. But I went to Revival Conference in Oakland, and this guy was there, and he's preaching, and he's a missionary, and he's had altar call for missions, and I just sat right in my seat like this. I ain't going there, people. And then finally he said, you know, he's like, you've been a missionary, you want to be a missionary? I'm like, nope. Finally he said, have you thought about it? I'm like, well, I've thought about it. Well, I'm like, man, you didn't leave anything unturned. So come on, dude, that's not even fair. I think about a lot of things. So in order for me to be honest with the Lord, I walked up, and I was walking up that day. I felt like the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and he said, West Africa. And I like, wow, is that God? So I told my wife, I said, I think God might have spoken to me. Because at the time, I'm like, you know, I'm not too sure about hearing the voice of the Lord. So I said, God, if it is you, prove it. 2 weeks later, I'm sleeping, and the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart, and he said, Sierra Leone. At the time, I've never heard of that nation at all. So I got up, and I told my wife, I said, I got a name. And she's like, oh, really? Is it the name of our next child? I'm like, we got three already, babe. What? No. No. So I pushed her aside and went to the kid. You're just blowing it for me, man. You're messing me up. I'm spiritual here. Come on. So I looked on the Africa map, and there was, in the middle of West Africa, there was Sierra Leone. And I'm like, Lord, okay. I know that I'm supposed to do something with this nation. And at the time, they were like in civil war for like 14 years. And I'll fast forward. So that was something that's brewing with me. And, you know, at different times, God would speak to me about nations, and I'd pray, and I'd go places at conferences, and people come up to me and speak to me and say, God's spoken to me. You're going to go to this nation, go to that nation. And I would always say, okay, sometime later. But it came to this point in my life and season of my life, God was saying, now is that time for you to shift. Because for me, if I don't do this piece, I won't feel like I've lived a full life. I'm going to say that one more time, because I think some of us have, because of struggles and because of discouragement and because of doubt, are not living the fullest life that we can. Because if we're not living the life that God has challenged us to live, we've missed out. We've missed out on something absolutely fantastic, magnificent, and very, very purposeful. And God doesn't want us to be in that place this morning. He doesn't want us to be in that place. God delights, man, when we jump out, when he says something, hey, I want you to go over there and do this. And we say, yes, let's go. God's like, okay, I got his back. I'm going to take care of him. Because when we obey God, he is actually causing us to exercise a gift or a calling on our life that's going to bring breakthrough in other people's life. And when we, God uses to bring breakthrough on other people's life, we start to get more filled and fulfilled in our life and got a great sense of purpose rather than sitting depressed. I think a lot of times when we're hemmed in and we can't live the life we live, want to live, we get very discouraged. We get very discouraged. We start internalize, and a lot of people turn to drugs. They turn to different things of way to meet that need. God doesn't want that for us. God has a place where He has life overflowing. Come on. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I'll share one more story, and then I'll pull out a scripture so you, you know. So I started an organization called Heart for All Nations based on what call of God, and I would honestly say the prophetic words that I've gotten. Like I said, I go to conference, people come up to me that I don't know. God's called you to the nations. We see this and this and this is happening, and I'm like, I got no organization, I got no money, but you know what? I believe you. I write it down, and I write them down, and I start praying over them. God, you said this, provide for it. If it's you, I want you to do this, this, this. I keep declaring the word of God. You guys declare the word of God? Hey, look, if you get a prophetic word or you read a scripture and it burns in your heart, read that thing and pray it and declare it over your life. Because the word of God is powerful. It breaks the atmosphere and it creates a path for you to go and do what God's called you to do. So, Kent, if you could put up that picture, please. This is my first... I just want you guys to show the man of faith that's standing in front of you right there. The confidence, the anointing, the grace, the blazing fire in his eyes. That he is going to be all things, you know. He's going to be powerful. That's actually how I felt. Heading to Africa on my first journey. I said, Lord, I want to go with Hearts for All Nations. And I want to spend time with leaders, and I want to find out what are the needs in this nation. That's it. I didn't want to preach. I'm not looking to do a crusade because I'm like, I really want to find out what is it that you want me to do. And I'll give you just a quick story. So I'm stepping out in faith is what I'm sharing with you, because I didn't know what's going to happen, and I honestly felt a little inadequate because I'm like, this is a big country. I'm not a big evangelist kind of guy. I'm going, you know. And as I was going, the Holy Spirit dropped a scripture in my heart. Actually, it was in my normal reading time. And it was 2 Chronicles. And it hit me pretty hard. I said, wow, God, you give me a word. And he's like, yeah, you're going to preach it while you're over there. Now, this is a new way of thinking for me. The idea of just stepping out and just preaching and just going on the fly is not really my style. So I was reading this scripture, and as I read it, the Lord says, that's the word I want you to give to this nation. It's on the airplane over. And as I got there, the first pastor I meet, I'm walking in the streets towards my friend Andrew. He's been here, Andrew Sisse. And I'm walking, and the Holy Spirit speaks, because I'm looking around, I'm like, God, how will I even have an impact in this nation? Because it's millions of people. And I'm in the largest city, and you know, just see people buzzing around. And as I'm walking, the Lord says, I'm going to connect you to influencers and leaders in this nation. That's what he said. I'm going to connect you to influencers and leaders. And I'm like, okay, that face right there. I'm like, okay. Okay. So the first pastor that Andrew introduced me to, his pastor is the biggest church in his particular city. We sat down and we were talking, and I introduced myself, and I'm telling you, we said about three words and the Holy Spirit just fell in the room. And I started to share some of the things, prophetically share some of the things that God wants to do in this man's ministry for about 2 to 5 minutes. And I'm like, never met this man. You know, and I'm just like, okay, I'm going for it. Because I told the Lord before, whatever you lead me to do, I'm stepping out. If I leave and people think I'm a crackpot, that's okay. But one thing I was not going to leave with was not emptying what God has told me to do. I'm stepping out. Every door you open, I'm going through. Whatever you say, I'm going to do. and he definitely held me to it. Because as I started talking to this guy, I felt a stirring in my spirit. I'm like, uh-oh. And he's like, are you going to obey? Yes. So anyway, I prophesied over this guy, and his other pastor was there. And I'm using this shit. This guy says to me, he says, Alton, you've opened the book on my life. All the ministries and things that God's spoken me to do, you have just confirmed. And he said to me, I want you to partner with our ministry. You can come whenever you want. As a matter of fact, he's invited us back in December to come to his conference. He has a network of churches. He's invited me, and so me and Lori are looking to go to that. But more than that, his associate guy says, I want you to pray for my nephew. And he says, he's in government. I remember, this is the first day. This city has a couple million people. He said, I want you to pray for my nephew. And I said, okay, sure. Because these guys, by just what I've said, and they see strength, right, they're convinced that I have a prophetic gift. And they're like, we want you to prophesy over our nephew and other people. So they're looking to find people for me to speak the word of God into their life. The guy happens to be a Muslim. Anyway, long story short, I went to his office, and this guy is a high government official. He's the number one in his political party, and he's also in the, I'm trying not to say things because we're being taped, but he's like in the judicial system, like number two in the whole country. So we go to this guy's office. He opens the door, and I get an opportunity to speak what I felt, pray for this man, and speak what I felt like the Lord's going to do in his life. And this man gave me his business card, and he says, next time you come to Sierra Leone, let's spend some time together. I couldn't have found my way to this guy, no matter how hard I tried. But I was stepping out in the word that God gave me 20 years ago. And as I stepped out, I felt the anointing come on me. When I get to Sierra Leone, I'm a different me, because I'm walking on the power and anointing in the place where God has called me to be. And when we're doing what God has anointed us and called us and put in our heart to do, we have the supernatural power of the living God multiplying our efforts, breaking our doors and making connections for us. See, in order for us to live the life that God has us to live, we have to start thinking about what He is able to do, not looking our own inadequacies. God doesn't look at your inadequacy. He doesn't look at what you don't have, but He looks at what you do have and what He's put in you, and He's calling you to use that one thing to bring forth a change and allow His greatness to cover the other areas of your weakness. That was just the first day I got a chance to meet the superintendent for the whole nation of Sierra Leone. This is going without having this man's number or email address. I met him. I met the district superintendent for the Freetown area, who's over, quite a few churches. He's invited me out and come back. Want you to do a conference. What kind of conference? Anything you want to do. I'm just saying, the doors were open because I'm walking in the will of the Father. And wherever God has called you to go, guess what? He's already prepared the place for you. This church is in a season of preparation. Matter of fact, you guys have prepared. I look at this place, I walk, I'm like, I can't get it out of my head. Preparation. Preparation. So you guys are prepared for increase. I got to read the Bible. Otherwise, I might say I'm not. But it's, so this is the word that God gave me. And it's, if you want to put it up there, Ken. It's 2 Kings chapter 4. And I'm going to jump around because I don't have the whole time to read the whole thing. But essentially, there's a widow. Her husband was one of the prophets that walked with Elijah. And he died. She got no money. She's in debt. The people who owe her money, she owed money to, says, we're going to take your sons and they're going to become our slaves until you can pay off whatever you have, whatever we owe you. And she went to Elijah. And that's a point I want to make. When you're in trouble and in desperation, go to God or go to people who know the Lord for answers. Oftentimes you go to the wrong place to go get answers. Don't let your emotions rule you. Go to where God, or go to people who walk in godly counsel. So Elijah, this is what I was reading on the plane. His eye says, how can I help you? This is a lady now. She's a widow. She's in debt. She ain't got no money. They're going to take her kids. How can I help you? And Elijah says this, tell me what's in your house. When I read that, I'm like, this doesn't make sense at all. I need money. Give me some food. Give me something. He says, tell me what's in your house. And she says, there's nothing at all except a flask of oil. So for her, I got nothing worth valuable here. There's nothing that can deliver me from my situation, Elijah. It's Elijah, Elisha. Elisha. I've got nothing. And oftentimes, when God calls or somebody challenges us, we say, well, it's just little old me. I got nothing. That ain't the truth, bro. Come on. That ain't the truth, ma'am. No children of God has nothing. No children of God has nothing. God has planted his spirit in you. That means there's power there. That means there's giftings there. And that means there's calling there. See, oftentimes our circumstances cause us to see just what we don't have, not what we do have. And Elijah says, man, what's in your house? He's like, nothing, idiot. I mean, come on, nothing. Except one little thing. I got a little flask of oil. So Elijah said, borrow as many empty jars as you can from your friends and neighbors. Then go into your house with your sons, shut the door behind you, pour olive oil from your flask into the jars, setting each one aside as they're filled. So Elijah says, in essence, go prepare for the miracle. Go prepare for the solution. Go borrow from your neighbors. Now, it wasn't like Elijah deposited oil in the ground where she can go scoop it up. She didn't see it. This required her to faith. He says, go get those bottles. So it says this. She did what she was told. She and her sons kept bringing jars to her, and she... Did I miss the spot there? Okay, yes. She did what Elijah told her what to do. When I read that, what's in your house? Just what the Holy Spirit downloaded me. That's the message you got to bring to that nation of Sierra Leone. That's the message I want you to bring to the nations, especially African impoverished nations. Because oftentimes we look for others to bring deliverance. Oftentimes we look for others to bring resources when God is saying, what's in your house? I need you to do something with what you already have. And when you start to use what you already have, my supernatural increase is going to come upon what you have and multiply that thing. Because in those nations, a lot of times they're looking to the West for deliverance. And God is saying, no, deliverance is not going to come from the West. It's going to come from something I already deposited in your nation. What is going to transform your nation is already in your nation. You're just focusing on those who already have stuff because you think their stuff is going to be delivering, but they're not. What I need you to do is to know what I've put in you and start to hone that thing and start to prepare it, so when I get ready to move, you obey me, you will see the hand of God in ways you never thought possible. That way, God will get the glory and not us. When God called Moses to go deliver his people, and he said, Moses, what's in your hand? That's what he said. Moses, what's in your hand? Because he didn't send Moses with an army. God, all I have is a stick that I used to beat wolves and I used to kill scorpions. What are you going to do with that? You know, because he's probably looking around, where's my army? Where's my army? There's no army. There is God and the stick. Now go deliver my people. Come on, man. Go deliver my people. But God, they got sharp swords up there. They got lions they throw people to or whatever. Go deliver my people. If Moses looked at what he didn't have, he would have never went. Guys, I'm telling you right now, we can't look at what we don't have. Look at what we do have. Because God is going to say, what's in your house? I've put stuff in there. I've put stuff in there. You're better than you think. You're stronger than you think. You're more anointed than you think. You're more capable than you think. What's in your house? So he said she went and she obeyed. Says her sons kept bringing her jars and she filled them one after another. So it took faith, one, to go to Elijah. Two, it took faith to do what he asked, because this man didn't say, I'm going to give you some money, but go get some empty jars from your neighbors and drag it into your house. And if they ask you, you know, I don't know what you're going to tell them, but go get the jars. Why do you need my jar? Don't ask me any questions. Just give me the jars, please. I'm desperate. My children are about to be slaves. Don't ask me any questions. But she didn't care what. You know, sometimes desperate. That's why sometimes we get in desperate situations. Because when we got nowhere else to go, then we listen to God. I'm just saying. I'm kind of like that sometimes. Can I get an amen out there? But it took faith to get the jars, so that's the preparation thing, and that's the word I got for this church. You guys are start. You guys doing a good job. Your preparation. You're preparing. As I walked through this, and I couldn't get it out of my mind. This house is prepared for something to happen here. The next thing is, what's in your house? Who's got gifts and talents? Who's committed? This lady was committed. See, oftentimes, I'm telling you the truth, we go to God and we pray for an answer. When God gives us an answer, we don't like it, we walk away from it. Because it doesn't look like what we want him to say or what we expect him to say. He'll tell us something completely different. And because we don't have faith or trust him enough, we walk away. When God was about to demonstrate his glory to you, to let you know how significant you are and how powerful he is, we walk away. Because it didn't feel good, it didn't look good, or we were more concerned about what people say or think about us than obeying the word of God. See, this is why Elijah said, when you go in the house, take your two kids in there, shut the door. Shut the door. You know why, people? Can I say something? Nobody is responsible for your destiny and your calling except for you. It ain't Pastor Scott's job to be responsible for your destiny. It ain't T.D. Jakes. It ain't nobody else. No matter how great your pastor loves it, they are not responsible for your destiny. You are. The scripture says we will all give account. And God's going to say, I put this in your house. I put this in your house. I put this in your house. Why didn't you use it? See, the church is supposed to be a place where we come together and we encourage each other. We help fire each other's faith, strengthen each other, and encourage one another with psalms and hymns and just be about God and growing in him. Growing in him. Don't you want to grow in the Lord? Don't you want to see his power manifested? Don't you want to see him use you in ways you never thought possible? My sense of adventure is like, I know there's greater things to be done. And man, when I got there, man, and I gave that guy the prophetic word, and I did all this stuff, man, I was like, God, I'm ready for more of this. I experienced the joy of fulfillment of a word that no money can ever buy. I'm telling you guys, if you're not living out your true calling, you are missing out of some inner joy and purpose and satisfaction that nothing else will ever be able to give you. So she said, go inside your house, and I'm going to share one more point, and I'm going to pray for you guys. And the reason why I believe he says go into your house and shut the door is sometimes we let people talk us out of what God has instructed us to do. Because we look at circumstances and people who God did not speak to, was speak who? It's my African coming out. Y'all want to do the dance? That's why I think they told us, Africa, you got to dance, man. They play the music. I'm looking at it, you got to dance. I'm dancing, I'm doing all this crazy. They say, man, the crazy in the bed. I'm like, really? And I'm dancing, people are cheering. Look at the crazy American. We love him. But they're like, for them, it's a part of joining their team, you know? So, I do my crazy dance. I said, no videos, please. No videos, please. So anyway, that's why I said to shut the door, because oftentimes when God speaks to us, we go get a consensus from people who don't know God. And who God has not specifically spoken about that particular mission. Because somebody may be called to go out to the fruit marketplace there, and some people may not. So if God puts it on your heart, don't go asking who else is going. Can I be straight up with you all? Don't go ask who else is going. If God's putting it on your heart to do, get up and go. Because that's your call, your anointing. Don't look around who's going. Well, such and such, I'm not going. I ain't going. Because now you just talked yourself out of a glorious moment. And you have not shown yourself faithful to God for what he has shown you. But yet we're expecting for the miraculous 2 days from now in something that he hasn't even shown you. It's just something you want because you feel you get more attention to. Oh, I'm getting too heavy on y'all. It's not about what that person does and get the accolades for it. It's about what God's called you to. Yes, we want to see God do that, but I think in the church, we're too focused on the blessing other people have that we don't focus on the thing that God's given us to do and get blessed doing that. And get blessed doing that. Because when we're faithful, what God gives us, he gives us more. If we trust him. There's not a person here who has God is not anointed to do something glorious for him. I look in this room, I can tell you right now, and I'm a prophetic guy, there's tons of giftings and talents in here. There's more than enough in here to see this church transform and this region, this area transform. Yes. I don't have to lie. Because the Holy Spirit is in you. It's just, are you willing to do the preparation? The preparation in order for when the oil starts to flow, there is a reception or open containers for that. See, one of the things that struck me in this thing, it says, there isn't any more jars. And then once the jars were all full, guess what? The oil stopped flowing. Ooh, that's a heavy duty word. You know what that tells me? When there's no demand on the anointing, no demand on the resources of God, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Where there is no acts of faith that causes God's resources to join with your action, nothing happens. Faith without actions is nothing. Our actions tells us how much faith we truly have. Faith isn't faith until you do something. Say that again. Faith is not faith until you're willing to act on what you say you have faith in. I could have believed all my life and sat at my job, stayed at this church, and tried to do whatever I thought was possible, but I wouldn't be exercising or showing faith in what God has called me to do. That man that I prophesied over in Sierra Leone, and the government official who God's connected me with on my first trip, and they actually had me lined up to go prophesy over the president's wife. I'm just saying that. It's truth. just they couldn't get an appointment. They're like, wherever I went, the pastor's like, you're coming with us. We're going to meet this government official. And this is just one trip. But I'm just saying, I had to exercise my faith. I had to say, God, you've called me. I just want to go over there and explore the land. However it was, and I was not very confident. I'm just being honest with you guys. But once I stepped foot on the ground, I didn't expect that first meeting to be what it is. I'm just praying, oh God, here I am. Use me any way you can. Yeah. Use me any way you can. I'm excited about this. You know, if this trip turned out to be a bust, I'm okay with it because at least I've lived out something you spoke into my life. And one thing led to another, that I have all these invitations to come back. The Holy Spirit spoke to me as I was waking up about connecting with my friend Michael, the guy who's now my friend Michael. Hey, go be a pastor's help. I'm going to train to be a pastor's coach. I haven't seen a guy in like 20 years. But you know what? I'm like, okay, let's see if this is really the Lord. So I'm going to take action and step out. Boom, boom, boom. Email. 5 months later. Now, I have guys I'm coaching all over the world. Not because I'm somebody special, guys, but because I'm obedient to what God has called me to do. I'm obedient to what God's called me to do. And obedience is huge. Obedience is actually currency in the kingdom of God. Obedience is the number one accelerator in spiritual growth in the kingdom of God. It is. I'm going to say that one more time because y'all need to understand that. Obedience is the shortcut, number one accelerator, the best thing you could possibly do with the word of God. It releases blessings, resources. I mean, it is. That's a secret weapon right there. It's not really sexy in that terms. It doesn't sound very like glamorous and wonderful and joyful. And, you know, it doesn't sound that way. Oh, I obeyed the Lord. Everybody, oh, how boring. You know what? It's better to rebel, man. I didn't listen to that. If you want growth, if you want to be blessed, he lays out the commands. He says, blessed are you if you do them. That's the condition. God speaks because he's good, he loves us, and he wants to bless us and bless others and cause us to feel a live full life. And it's our choice to say, you know what, God, you spoke. Okay, I trust you enough that I'm actually going to do what you say. Because every time we do disobedience, we're saying, God, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. And he said, Elijah said to the widow, I'm out of time. He said to him, sell the oil, pay back your debt, and the rest you can use for yourself. So the question is, what's in your house? There's a couple things I want to pray about for you guys in this church, if you'd stand to your feet. I want to close because I want to pray some things. And honey, if you have anything you want to share at the end, let me know, anybody, you people. If you can, guys, if you can just in this moment, let's just be honest with the Lord and open our hearts, because it doesn't matter where we are right now in terms of whether we've been great at obeying, not so great at obeying, you know, far away from God, close to God. That's not the point. It's like, where do we go from here today, God? And I'm sensing that God is like, you know what, today's a day just to renew our commitment and our heart to him in a way that really see us step out in faith and live a joyful, spirit-filled life. Come on. Where some bondages could be broken off our lives. I want to just throw this nugget out at you. He says, we create an appetite for the things that we consume. Let's say that again. We create an appetite for the things we consume. heads bowed and eyes closed, because I want to give an opportunity if anybody don't know the Lord this morning. All heads bowed and eyes closed. If you don't know or never made a commitment to the Lord this morning, I feel like you're kind of a little bit on the outsides right now, even of this message, I just want you to raise your hands this morning. If you don't know the Lord, that's the first thing. Okay. Second thing I'm going to ask for this morning is if you kind of feel like, you know what, I'm outside of that obedience place or the sweetness of God right now, I just want you to lift your hands. Anybody here this morning? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. All right. Other thing I have is just an awakening of the dreams and promises God's put in you. If that's you this morning, say, Lord, I want an awakening of the dreams and the promises that you've put in me. I may not be living it. I just feel kind of lost this morning, and I just read a new refiring in that direction. You slip your hands up real quick, please. Thank you. I see you. Thank 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 you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. If you're here this morning, you raise your hand, I'm going to ask if you'd mind take a bold step to come forward. I just want to be able to pray for you. Reawakening of promises and refiring in the Lord. That's the word I got, refiring, reigniting. And I want to just pray for you this morning. If you would come forward, please. Just be bold this morning. Don't care about what people think. If that's you, I just want you to come up this morning. Step out. Come up front. Say, that's me. God, I just want a reigniting. I want a refiring of your purposes for my life this morning. I want to step out in faith. I want to see you move. I want to know what's in my house, and I want to your Holy Spirit to touch what's in my house, to call it to grow and to expand this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, people, just open your heart to the Lord this morning. We're family. We're family. No one's judging you this morning. We all get to different places in our life where, you know what, sometimes we just get tired, we get beaten down, we get worn out. And we just need a refreshing and refining. This morning, as you come forward, you're just saying, God, I'm committed to surrender to you. Yes. I'm committing to say, Lord, touch my life. Use my life. I want to live the abundant life this morning. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. All right. All right. Glory.